This is Radio Eco Shock with Alex Smith.
The scientist who warned the U.S. Congress about dangerous climate change in 1988 is back. Dr. James Hansen, who recently retired as the head of NASA's Goddard Institute, says we're going to be hit much sooner and harder than we've been told, even by mainstream science. Hansen says the 2 degrees centigrade upper limit to our warming, as agreed at the Paris Climate Summit, is just not unsafe. It's very plainly dangerous for humans and all life as we know it. James Hansen and more than a dozen other world scientists published a monumental 66-page scientific report in March. The title is Ice Melt, Sea Level Rise and Superstorms, Evidence from Paleoclimate Data, Climate Modeling, and Modern Observations that 2 degrees C global warming could be dangerous. The public has hardly heard about the news, and there's a lot to hear. I've called up a regular Radio EcoShock correspondent to help us sort out what this new Hansen paper actually says. Paul Beckwith teaches climate science at the University of Ottawa. He has 2 master's degrees, and he's developing his PhD thesis on abrupt climate change. Paul, welcome back to Radio EcoShock.
Hello, Alex. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
I appreciate you sharing your expertise so widely. It really, really helps. So James Hansen, perhaps the world's foremost climate scientist, leads this new and shocking interpretation of recent science, and the political and public reaction is crickets, basically. Why is it taking so long for people to get this?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. I think people they don't want to hear this. It's very dire news, and they just don't want to hear it. I mean, Hansen's talking about, you know, main things that he expects will happen this century with the 2 degrees Celsius rise over pre-industrial, which is about another degree. You know, he talks about a lot of different things, but he doesn't talk about methane and he doesn't talk about jet stream waviness. I mean, what he does say is, I think there's 4 or 5 key points that he says will happen this century. And we're starting to see signs of this already. One is cooling of the southern oceans on the surface. And this cooling would slow the southern ocean overturning circulation. And so you have this layer of meltwater on the surface. And the warmer water deeper down would then undercut the ice shells in Antarctica, for example. And the ice shells are grounded on retrogressive bedrock. So in other words, as you go deeper inland, the water gets deeper. So they're very unstable, and they act as corks to the main ice sheets on Antarctica. So if the ice shells start breaking off in large quantities, then it's like taking a cork from a champagne bottle. The ice sheets that are on land, that have all this water, which will rapidly raise sea levels and will come off quickly. He also talks about the North Atlantic, the slowing of the AMOC, the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation, and even a shutdown this century. And this would cause a great cooling of the North Atlantic. So what this would do is this separation of cold and warm water in the oceans would cause very enormous and powerful storms, because the temperature gradient, very sharp temperature gradients between the cold and the warm water adjacent to each other, cause large pressure gradients, which then cause high winds, and the jet streams pull across there, and you get these massive storms, the likes of which we have not seen. And of course, you also get exponential growth of sea level as opposed to slow linear growth. So we're talking about multimeter sea level rise in time frames of decades as opposed to centuries.
Right. Some of this, he's saying, could start in 2030s, 2040s, and that's pretty unusual when people were generally talking about the year 2100 and beyond.
Yes. Yeah, so he did many simulation models of what would happen if you inject large amounts of fresh water in the North Atlantic from Greenland. And this is also being stimulated because we're actually seeing, we have this cold pool of water south of Greenland, which has been a persistent feature just in the last several years. So what basically happens is the excessive melt of Greenland contributes fresh water to the surface, which then goes into this cold pool. Also, you get either a deflection of the Gulf Stream that cuts across, or the Gulf Stream is forced to go underneath the cold water on the surface, and it does pop up occasionally in different places. Yeah, you get these large temperature extremes, and then this can give rise to very strong storms. And also, because the jet streams are very wavy, we're often getting ridges are blocking highs over Greenland, so extremely large temperatures over Greenland, and that will greatly increase melt rates of ice on Greenland, which again raises up sea levels. So if you look at the melt rates from Greenland and Antarctica and look at how often the rates double, we have a doubling period from over the last 20 years or so of somewhere between 5 and 8 years. Now, Hansen models doubling periods of 10 years, 20 years, and 40 years, and says that we're heading towards the much lower range of that, so the 10 years. So even with a 10-year doubling time, we're talking about multi-meter sea level rise in a matter of, you know, number of decades, as opposed to, you know, forget 2100, which everybody talks about. In fact, if the doubling rate continues on Greenland and Antarctica, anybody can just calculate that we would have a sea level rise of something like 7 meters by 2070. In fact, I did a video on this just a few years ago. You can just Google that name, can sea level rise 7 meters by 2070? I mean, Hansen's highest number is about 5 meters by 2100, you know, a couple meters possibly, you know, in the next 30 years or so, given this new research that has just been published.
Well, my God, I mean, if we had 2 meters in the next 20 to 30 years, you're talking about Shanghai, New York, Miami disappears, major changes to the Earth.
Yes, I mean, it will basically change the face of the Earth. And, I mean, look at today's rates of sea level rise, you know, over the last decade, compare them to the previous decade. We know how quickly sea level has risen in the past. I mean, it's risen, you know, it has risen 5 meters in 100 years or less in the past, in the paleo records. You can look at the, you know, rates of rise now. We can measure the rates of ice melt using the GRACE anomaly satellites to look at ice melt from Greenland and Antarctica. Also, the ocean temperatures are rising a lot, and we know that when things are at higher temperatures, they expand. So the ocean, the water is taking up more space. Basin size hasn't changed. So this is one of the major sources of sea level rise present day. You know, Greenland and Antarctica are kicking in big time. We're losing Arctic sea ice. In fact, the sea ice is decreasing. It's weeks ahead of where it was in the previous minimum in 2012, and which was way ahead of 2007. So it's very possible that we'll have this blue ocean event where we have no sea ice in the Arctic in September. Of course, this will greatly accelerate the temperature rise in the Arctic, both from the latent heat effect. There's no, you know, ice takes a lot of energy to melt. If the ice is not there, that energy will go and raise the temperature of seawater. And also the albedo is, the Arctic is much darker, it's absorbing much more solar energy. So when we lose sea ice and snow cover is also declining exponentially, then the rates of melt on Greenland will increase, you obviously increase at extremely fast rates. And that combined with the undercutting of the glaciers in Antarctica, we're in for a wild ride here. And the unfortunate thing is the public just isn't aware of these risks yet. I mean, the government, you know, we need to declare a climate change emergency. We have a global climate change emergency underway, and we need this declared by governments, and we need strong action taken on an emergency basis. You know, call it a Marshall Plan when we rebuilt damaged countries in World War II, call it a Manhattan Project, call it a moonshot, an Apollo mission. I mean, we're very technologically advanced, but we're doing very, very stupid things now and not recognizing the risks and threats that we face from abrupt climate change.
Well, let's get to one of Dr. Hansen's favorite topics, the coming superstorms. He wrote a book, Storms of My Grandchildren, and I understand he's working on a new book now that will be coming out in the next few months. So to understand this, we have to go back about 130,000 years. What happened then that could warn us now about big storms to come?
Okay, well, what happened was that the global temperature was about 2 degrees above pre-industrial. It was about the level that policymakers now are saying is sort of the safe window, if you like. And it's not safe at all. I mean, during the Eemian, 130,000 years ago, when the temperature was about a degree higher than today, actually even less than a degree, so that's 2 degrees above pre-industrial, the sea levels were 6 to 9 meters higher than they are today, for one thing. So there was, you know, I would guess that probably half of that is from Greenland, half of it is from Antarctica. you know, and there's also a lot more expansion. There's a lot more water vapor in the atmosphere. So for every degree rise in temperature, there's about 7% more water vapor in the atmosphere. So this water vapor fuels much more intense storms. Also, we would definitely have cool regions south of Greenland, cool regions in Antarctica from all that meltwater causing that sea level rise, and those cool regions would lead to extremely high temperature gradients. Those regions would be much colder, and they'd be adjacent to very warm regions. For example, in the north, we'd have the Gulf Stream butting up against the very cold regions, or even the Gulf Stream shutting down. And whenever you get this very strong temperature gradient, you get a lot of baroclinicity. So basically, you get when you have temperature gradients, and you get very, very strong pressure gradients. And then when you have pressure gradients, you get very, very high winds, and that you also have a lot more water vapor in the atmosphere, so that fuels these storms. So these storms then kick up massive waves, and we're talking about 30-meter waves that then carry across the Atlantic and hit down in the Caribbean, hit Bermuda, even further down. And these 30-meter waves then push up massive boulders onto shorelines, and that's what Hansen documents quite a bit in his paper. So we have storms the likes of which we have never seen before in human history on our planet.
And as you point out in your YouTube video on the Hansen paper, that ships were never built to face a 100-foot wave, a 30-meter wave, so that could end shipping, say, at least around the Caribbean and maybe in other places as well.
Yes. I mean, while those storms were occurring, you know, occasionally now we get these rogue waves, which are, you know, 100-foot waves, and we can detect them by satellite. They're not as rare as people think. I mean, at any given time, there might be, you know, half a dozen to a dozen going on, and these are 30-meter waves. And the rogue waves, they build up from superposition of waves, et cetera. You know, the statistics of wave motion in the oceans. But to have, you know, wave trains, 30-meter waves in wave trains, not talking about a single wave, but a group of wave trains, I mean, think of the devastation that they would do to shorelines, especially with a sea level rise, you know, meters higher than what it is now. I mean, this is what the science tells us we're heading to. I mean, this Hansen paper is kind of a landmark, and, you know, he published it sort of online as open source about, you know, last summer, and I did the 9 videos on it trying to dissect it. And, you know, now it's being published officially to the peer review in Atmospheric Chemistry and Physics. It's an open access paper, so anybody can just Google the name of the paper, load the paper up on their computer, you know, read the, you know, there's a lot of technical details in it, but anybody, you know, anybody in the public, just read the abstract, read the beginning, the intro, you know, look at some of the figures and read the conclusions, and you can get the gist of the paper. Also, Hansen did a 15-minute video recently trying to explain some of the key points of this paper. So, you know, we definitely are facing the consequence of abrupt climate change at the moment. But as bad as the paper is, it doesn't mention methane. I mean, there's 5 gigatons of methane in the atmosphere right now. There's 100 gigatons on the eastern Siberian Arctic shelf. So even if 1% of that was released from the warming seawater, which would occur, you know, if we lose sea ice and snow cover, you know, we have the Blue Ocean event, the oceans are warming, they're already warming 5 to 7 degrees over these continental shelves. You know, 1% of the methane, you know, on the upper surface comes through, whether it be in clath rates or decomposing permafrost, organic matter in the permafrost, and 1% would be 10 gigatons, and that would double the methane level in the atmosphere. And this is an enormous feedback because on a few-year time scale, you know, the global warming potential is, you know, 150, 200 times that of CO2. So methane starts coming out, then the Arctic temperatures will skyrocket. All of these cascading feedbacks kick in, you know, and, you know, we're on a wild roller coaster ride. And, you know, people can follow. I mean, I advocate strongly for, you know, three-legged bar stools type solutions. We need to zero fossil fuel emissions on an emergency basis, but that's not sufficient. That's leg one of the metaphorical climate bar stool. We also need to remove CO2 from the atmosphere with CDR methods, and we need to cool the Arctic with solar radiation management methods. And that gives us a fighting chance to restore a, you know, climate change restoration of a more stable climate.
Well, yes, listeners, I sometimes disagree with Paul about geoengineering, although I'm starting to lean in his direction as I see this emergency develop. But certainly, Paul's got a really good grip on abrupt climate change, and that's what this paper is about, I think. We've been discussing what might be the biggest scientific paper of this decade, if not this century. It's from a team of scientists led by the famous Dr. James Hansen. The title is Ice Melt, Sea Level Rise, and Superstorms, and I won't read the rest of the title. It's a long one. I'll be doing more interviews and analysis as we go along, and Dr. Hansen has just agreed to do an interview for Radio EcoShock. I know that Paul did a 9-part series of YouTube videos on this paper. I'll put a link to them in my show blog at ecoshock.info. Or, folks, you can just go to YouTube and search for Beckwith and Hansen, and there they are. And also, of course, you've got to go to paulbeckwith.net, his website, where you can get all kinds of goodies and keep up with Paul and his Facebook page. I look at his Facebook page at least every second day, if not every day, to get some more clues about what's going on with the climate. Paul's from the University of Ottawa. He's been really, really helpful to Radio EcoShock. Paul, thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much, Alex.
Radio EcoShock.